A lot of you know the basics of the attorney-client privilege, and so I'm going to try to talk today a little bit more about things that come up in the modern day, the way corporations are structured today, relating to privilege, that are not necessarily as well developed as we would like, or the kinds of things that are just black and white, and talk about some of those issues, some of the nuances and potential arguments, and some of the potential pitfalls for everybody to be looking out for. So first, though, I'll give an overview of the privilege. And then talk about it in connection with investigations, internal investigations. Talk about privilege as it applies to affiliated entities. The common interest doctrine, which is much narrower than is generally speaking understood. Talk about how privilege works with both advisors and consultants that are not employees of the company. Talk a little bit about how it works in connections with mergers and acquisitions and who owns the privilege after that. And then I will briefly touch on how privilege differs in various countries around the world, as well as sort of best practices for preserving privilege. So starting off with an overview of the privilege, as everybody knows, the attorney-client privilege protects a communication made between privileged persons made in confidence for the purpose of obtaining or providing legal assistance to the client. And really, the two key components here that we will spend a lot of time talking about today are the second and the fourth of those. Who can be considered a privileged person for purposes of the discussion? And what is the purpose of the communication? Is it for providing legal assistance? That is a key component of the privilege that is often litigated.